Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
Are you going to give us a song, K9?
Affirmative. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas and a happy new year. We all like pudding. We all like pudding. We all like pudding.
Good day, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 143 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
I'm Santa.
And I'm Hayden.
And I'm Mark.
143. Does it seem that long, actually, does it, since we were doing the 100th episode celebration?
It's the time dams around the Whoseum, that's what it is.
Mm.
It's keeping us young.
Well, speak for yourself.
It's our 7th birthday on the 15th of January. So welcome to our traditional Christmas podcast, faithless listeners. As those of you who've known us of old will know, every podcast nearest to Christmas, we have a game show podcast. Now, normally, we would open the Christmas podcast with the sound of Hayden approaching Biscuit Factory Square in his, because one of Hayden's part-time job, he moonlights as a Coca-Cola driver. But unfortunately, the holidays are coming tour of the UK has been cancelled by Coca-Cola because of the coronavirus. And so Hayden had to walk here this morning. So there's no intro of holidays are coming, gradually approaching us. What a pity. In fact, I thought I saw, given that it's Christmas, I did think I saw someone on the rooftops around the square as I was having a breath of fresh air outside the front door a few hours ago.
How exciting.
But I'm not sure if it was Santa. It seemed to be someone with bald and very long arms grunting as he was jumping around the roof. So Lord knows who it is. Yeah. I suppose we'll never know. As you would expect, listeners, we are in the grand atrium of the Whoseum, and it is decorated for Christmas. The tree, where we finished putting it up last night, didn't we, boys? Hayden has been very patiently licking and putting together paper chains for the last week. Or rather, Hayden's wife, Sophie, has. Hayden decided, given that Sophie is expecting a baby next year, Hayden decided that the best thing to give her a rest was to sit her down and give her a pile of paper chains to put together. We're very impressed, Sophie, if you're listening. Underneath the tree are stacked mountains of presents from ourselves to each other, and that have been sent in by the great and the good of the Doctor Who world. Anything interesting been happening since last we spoke, gentlemen?
Yeah, I was on Manchester International Radio again.
Again?
On sound. Again, yes. Yes, talking about podcasting, actually.
Oh, cool.
So I was talking about our little Whoseum and our construct that we have here.
Possibly the first time ever that one of us has been on something and they've invited us back. You know, I say I very rarely work with people twice.
I know, right? And I'm going back again as well. Talk about earliest memories of television.
I think the only time it's happened for me is when I was invited onto the Diddly Dum podcast.
Yes, of course. Yeah, but to be fair, Mark, we were desperate. Yes, I listened to your first appearance on Fab FM?
Fab International Radio.
Yes, I listened to your first recording on Fab International Radio, because it went out a couple of weeks after, didn't it? And that was good. So they brought you on again.
It's the sister radio station of the Starburst magazine, isn't it, I believe?
Oh, dear. I thought GR had been speaking to me for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately, Starburst has had to take a hiatus.
Oh, has it?
Yes, due to the pandemic. So it's probably not going to come back until the spring.
Do you get it, Mark?
I usually buy digital copies of it, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it's just easy to do and it's convenient to read.
Right, so people can either listen to that on or look out for Hayden when that is actually gets broadcast, or if you go to our show notes at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, we'll put a link to... they're also broadcasting podcasts, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Mark, anything been happening to you? Have you been...
What?
Sorry.
Well, I'm glad you've amused yourself.
I've been doing something. Because of the pandemic, usually the hundreds and thousands of visitors we have to the Hooseum to look at our magnificent exhibits helps to pay for the cost of running the place. But of course, during the lockdown, we haven't had many visitors. But we think we may be able to have found a decent way of financing the Hooseum again, because we've been in touch with the BBC and we've offered them the tapes of Marco Polo and Dalek Masterplan that we've had in one of our display cases for decades. And we offered them to the BBC at £250,000 for both. And they were about to snap them up, but then it turned out they weren't too keen when I said, we've not got the actual physical tapes. We've just got a digital drawing of them. And they said, well, we're not paying that much for just a digital drawing of something. So maybe we're not so up on the commercial world. Maybe people don't get away with that sort of thing in the commercial world. Do you think so?
No, yeah, I agree, because these days you wouldn't pay more than...
£128, is it?
£128 for a packet of... I'm using quotation marks now. A packet of of 10 digital cards. So they don't actually exist, but you can spend £128 on them. And it's for a new Doctor Who game that you can play, where you go online and play cards against other people. And if you're really rich, you can afford the £128 packets, then you'll win. And if you've only brought a few of the £4.99 packets, when I say packets, it's just a series of ones and zeros that's sent to your computer. And you can't hold these cards, you'll do anything with them, other than just get beaten by richer people online trying to play with them.
Doctor Who capitalism, you can't beat it.
No, it's astonishing, isn't it?
Just assume, listeners, that that last paragraph from Mark, every single word of it had its own pair of inverted commas around it.
I was talking to a friend recently about the reissues, the steelbooks for the recent new series. I pre-ordered the Series 7 and the Day of the Doctor ones because they were incomplete. I got the really cheap Blu-ray when it first came out for like a fiver of just Day of the Doctor, but of course that didn't have very much on it. That sort of that value-added material.
No, it didn't. There was a limited edition one, wasn't there, that was released?
Which was huge as well. And I was talking to my friend, and we actually wondered whether, because he was saying, oh, surely these are going to be the definitive ones now. And I said, well, no, I don't think so, actually. I said, as soon as the actors, there's enough breathing space between making them and the actors finally wanting to say stuff like, well, I'm not going to say, but, you know, but get the dirt out and what have you, they'll just re-release them again as part of the collection, probably. And it really has sort of begged the question of just how many times are we really going to be buying this stuff over and over and over again before we really do put our feet down.
Well, we're Doctor Who fans, so probably quite a lot.
I know, yeah.
If you consider that having originally bought the VHS releases of all the Doctor Who stories, we then replaced them with DVDs, and we're now eagerly awaiting the next opportunity to replace them with Blu-rays, aren't we?
Yeah. And on a personal note, I know we've spoken about this before, but as someone who didn't get all the VHS and all the books, the DVD, it was the first time that I had the complete set, as it were, was the DVDs. And I have said that with the Blu-rays, that's where the buck stops with me. And then, of course, then you discover they're all re-released on BritBox anyway. You think, oh, God, how many more times? But Blu-ray's definitely, for me, are the last.
Well, the new Blu-ray collections are very pretty things, and they have got loads of lovely extras on them and new stuff put on them. So, yeah, it does feel like a step up from the DVDs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Even if they can't always do wonders with the material they've got for the actual stories, although they do pretty good.
What do you think they'll do about those past seasons where they've only actually got a couple of full proper stories extant?
I think they'll keep animating until they've got a full whack, and then they'll bring them out as part of the collection.
Well, how will that work?
They'll just be animated episodes instead of the real ones.
Like what?
You know, like Fury from the Deep, The Faceless
Ones. Oh, sorry, you misunderstood. I don't mean missing stories. When I say those seasons that haven't got a full range of proper stories, I'm talking about like season 24 and season 25.
Oh, and with that, dear listeners, yet another diddly dumb presenter left the Hooseum, put his keys on the... Was it Bette Lynch in The Rover's Return put her keys on the counter and then walked out?
Oh, she put her keys in the ashtray, did she? Oh, no, that was the 13th Doctor arriving, wasn't it?
That's the
guy. Mark, have you been up to anything thrilling?
I watched the new trailer for the New Year's Day special.
Of course, yes!
Oh, yeah, that happened.
That looked pretty good.
Can't say I was energised.
No.
Because you're so grizzled by Chibnall's Who Doc, that's why.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. He's killed your inner child. He lies mortally wounded on the ground before us, saying, I just wish it was like the brain of Morbius again.
I did also watch the... no, I didn't. I did also mean to watch the Daleks YouTube series put out by the BBC. I just kept putting it off. I think it's the sight of that Golden Emperor just makes me feel really sad.
Is this Time Lord Triumphant thing?
Yeah, Time Lord Victorious. I just...
Sad in the sense of nostalgic or sad in the sense of the head should be a bit bigger?
Well, yeah, both, because it's just one of those things. I think that Golden Emperor's a design classic, an absolute beauty.
Oh, definitely. You agree.
But... They always say, oh no, that looks a bit odd, doesn't it? We can make it look better. So they've made it sort of taller and given it a slightly smaller, bulbous head. And now it just looks like some sort of, I don't know, butt plug or something.
I knew you were going to go there after you said bulbous head. Good grief, man. Speaking of which, Secret Santas.
Oh, Secret Santas.
Oh, shall we do it?
We've each got a present under the tree that we're allowed to open.
Who's going first? I'm going to open my card form. I've got card from Doc. Sorry, I haven't done cards this year, because I did cards last year and nobody else did cards.
I got a card from Hayden, Sophie and the Bump.
Oh.
It was the Bump who wrote it.
Did you just put a pen and the card and a felt tip on Sophie's tummy and wait for it to kick?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like Spirograph. It's all over the shop.
Right, who's opening first?
Why don't we let Doc open his first?
Yeah, go on. Age before beauty.
Yes, I will go first. Pearls before swine. Right.
Death before doom.
Yeah. Oh! It's... No, hang on.
What is it?
Oh, it's got Sergeant Stripes. It's Sergeant Benton. It's a Sergeant Benton doll.
Oh!
Right. Oh, where's his hand? Fitz's gun in his hand.
You've got the rifle there as well, hopefully.
Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 points of articulation! Wow!
Oh! That's even more than the real Benton.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Whichever of my Secret Santa sent that to me. Thank you. Who's next?
Go on, Mark.
Like I say, let's stick to the age before beauty thing. What have we got here? Oh, this lovely bow.
You got the face of Bo.
No, I've got... Oh, better than that. I have got...
Drum roll, please.
It's, well, I'll tell you what it is while I'm sorting this out. It's the complete TV series on 4 discs of Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
Wow, oh, that's awesome.
You can watch that with Galen.
Oh, I can. You love that.
I was going to say, I've not heard so much excitement since you opened Galen, Mark.
Oh, who were?
Excuse the expression.
I thought you were all out that night.
Previously on Diddly-Dum.
Wait a minute. What? No way! Oh my god! Jesus! It's Galen! It's the Planet of the Apes doll I chopped up back in the 80s.
Not the actual one.
That's fantastic, thank you. Oh, this would be... Oh, fantastic present. Very pleased with this.
Right. Hayden, you come at the far end of the young tree.
The last, but by no means least the young tree. Is that a sycamore, or is that a... Right, let's see. How do I get into it? Oh, right, okay, got it, yeah.
Oh, duh, it's a... I've got to open it from one end, don't I?
Oh, it's an envelope within an envelope, thank you. This is great.
Oh, it's a recursive envelope.
This is like Castrovalva all over again. Right, let's see. Is it? It's genuinely an envelope within an envelope. Okay, right. Oh! Oh, blimey! Is that... That's not, is it? On... Oh, yes. On parchment paper. Wow. It's Bock.
Handmade parchment paper.
Handmade parchment paper. Oh, wow. Oh, now, I'll tell you what. Holding that up against the light, against the tree, that's got a very... Cool, thanks for that. Is that signed as well?
Yes, it's... Well, I'm just guessing, because obviously it might not be from me. But I imagine it's signed.
Mark, take a look at this. Is that signed? Wow, who's that signed by? Richard Franklin?
No, it's Richard Wells. Right. He's the artist. Obviously, you know who it is.
It's Bock, isn't it? It's Bock.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. I see you've held it up to the light. It looks amazing.
It does, doesn't it? Put my hand out of the way.
But it'll look really lovely in a frame or something. And it's Pertwee.
John Pertwee.
So, in fact, all of the presents are apart from Planet of the Apes.
Which was broadcast during John Pertwee's reign, wasn't it?
Oh, that's beautiful. Is that a piece of transparent paper?
Well, yeah, it's handmade paper.
Yeah, I could feel by the texture.
And it's a lithograph, and which is like a kind of carved... The guy carves the block.
Wow.
Oh, I see.
So it's like a printing block, and he hand carves it. And so it's all handmade.
Oh.
I bought that. I was so impressed with it. I thought to myself, do you know what? I can think of another couple of people who'd like that. And one of them not being a million miles from the museum. And I thought, I'll order another two. So I did. And then there was some bad news. Apparently, the Bock lithograph got damaged and he's retired it.
No. So I have here in my mortal hand one of the last... So is this just limited edition? Is what we're saying. Wow.
It's inadvertently limited edition and perhaps worth more now since he broke the printing block.
Can it be true that I hold here in my mortal hand a nugget of purest green?
Anyway, I just thought it was a... I got it, and I thought, well, that, do you know what? That'll do for Secret Santa, whoever I end up sending that to. Obviously, you can't really do Secret Santa when there's 83 of you. But it's just nice that we have a little round of presents.
Well, thank you, Secret Santa. Thank you.
Whoever you are.
The only other Doctor Who figurine that I own is that one of the Mobius Monsters I bought at Capitol. And so I'll have to have Benton fighting with him.
But that's... Doc, you can't do that. That's non-canonical.
He wouldn't he look amazing with his giant claw clutching Benton's rifle?
Yes.
I shall put some photos on the online readers. I can't remember if I said this. Links available on our Tumblr page, which you can find on our show notes at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, which I meant to say about Hayden's radio appearances as well, but I can't remember. So, listeners, what we've decided to do, for reasons which I've completely forgotten, is we're theming this year's Christmas podcast on a John Pertwee theme, aren't we, chaps?
Yep.
Yes.
Can anyone remember why?
I suggested it randomly, but he has... it is 50 years since he first became the Doctor, isn't it? So I think it seems...
Oh, is it? Fair. I didn't realise
yes,
that.
I mean, it's not like we can... We don't want to do a whole retrospective on him, do we? Because obviously we've got that to come when we do the Pertwee era.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Mind you, by that argument with anniversaries, we ought to be doing the podcast in colour, oughtn't we? So,
Well, surely we should have... The opening of this, of one of us falling out the TARDIS, like flat on their face.
That's usually Mark.
Yeah, so we've devised a few games this year which are Pertwee-themed, yes. Haven't we, really? Or sort of Pertwee-era-themed. In fact, I've come up with three.
Oh, God.
Because it's the Third Doctor, of course. And just as I hear you all cringing at my tortured link there... Does anybody want to play one?
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes, what should we start with?
Well, the first one I think we should make a start with is the Carnival of Monsters. Right, okay, so we have a list here, or I have a list here, of 10 questions.
Do we need buzzers for this, or...?
I think we do, my dear Doc, I think we do. There's a point for each correct answer. We'll go to the 10 questions, but of course if it's 8-1 to someone and going into the 10th question, we'll still do it for fun anyway.
Oh, Lord. I can't find the buzzers. All right, Mark, here's your Federation Guard's gun.
Oh.
And here's my blaster. Okie doke, fire away, Hayden.
Okay, right. Fingers on buzzers. Well, fingers on triggers.
Yeah.
Question number one. What creature does the Keller machine turn Chin Lee into? Ow! A little close to the ear then, Mark. Okay, that's Mark.
A dragon.
It is a dragon. That's 1 point to Mark. Okay, question number two. Who played the voice of the Great One in Planet of the Spiders? Oh, that's Doc.
Was this his Anne Churchman?
No, it wasn't, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, she was bloody Alpha Centauri, wasn't she?
Question, yep.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, it's not, it's not Roger Delgado's wife, is it?
Do you know what? I will take that. That isn't her. Nope, sorry. the question was with Mark at that point.
Kiss my Delgado.
I will take that as the correct. I've got to give it to Mark because he said Roger Delgado's wife, which was technically correct. You could have also had Kismet Delgado or Roger Delgado's widow.
Or Mrs. Master.
So if I just say in the next question, a human being?
No, you'll be wrong, actually, with the next
two. 2-0 to Mark.
2-0 to Mark. Question three. Who made their debut first in the Third Doctor's era? The Ogrons? The Sea Devils or the Axons? Oh, that's Doc.
The Axons.
Well done, that's one to Doc.
Good-o.
2-1. Okay, question number four. Which famous race of villains did the Third Doctor only do battle with in the Five Doctors and never encounter during his actual era? Okay, Mark.
Is it Cybermen?
It is the Cybermen. Yes, it is. Ooh. Okay, question number 5. How many times did the Autons appear in the Third Doctor's run? Oh, that's Doc. This is tight. Go on then, Doc.
Oh, sorry, I've hit the Yule log and set it alight. twice.
Yes, it was indeed. It was twice. Okay, question number 6. Alpha Centauri was the Galactic Federation ambassador to which planet? Oh, that's Doc.
Peladon.
It's Peladon. It's 3-3.
Oh.
What a comeback.
Was that really a trick question that you were expecting it was slightly more complicated, Mark?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, question number 7.
Oh, level pegging.
The Daleks and the Ice Warriors both returned during the Doctor's third incarnation, but only one race came face to face with him on Earth in that time. Who was it?
Well, the Daleks and...
Well, it's the Daleks, and I'm going to have to give that to Mark, I'm afraid, because Mark, even though his blaster was a bit timid, beep, excuse me. Yes, Mark, it was the Daleks. That's 4-3 to Mark. Ooh. Question number 8. What was the name of the gargoyle that plagued Devil's End? That's Doc. This is really close. I'm loving this. Go on, Doc.
Bok.
Yes, it was Bok. Oh my god, it's 4-4.
Devil pegging. Ooh.
Question number 9. Name the vicious race that terrorized the Doctor and Joe repeatedly when they were trapped inside Vorg's miniscope. And that's Mark.
It's the Drashigs.
Oh, it is indeed. It's the Drashigs. Who, of course, appeared in the story from which this game is derived. Okay, question number 10. So this is the chance for Mark to win this, or for Doc to draw even, and for us to have a tie in our first game. Question number 10. Which of these famous foes never made an appearance up against the Third Doctor? The Sontarans, the Monoids, or the Silurians? Oh my god, it's Doc.
The Monoids.
Oh, it's 5-0!
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Mike. I tried to shoot and the trigger got a bit stuck and I think I might have hit the tree, but it is flame retardant, isn't it?
Oh no, our advent crown's on fire.
Oh no!
That happens every year. Thanks, Blue Peter.
Have we got a tiebreaker?
Okay. In the 10th anniversary story, The Three Doctors, what are the names of the weird blobby things that come to Earth and kidnap Unit HQ? Oh, and that's Mark. That's Mark.
It's the Gel Guards.
It is the Gel Guards.
Gryffindor wins!
Mark wins the first one.
Oh, well done, Mark. Yay. Well done. I'm so pleased for you, Mark.
Oh, well, thanks, Doc.
When do you want to do our favourite Christmas Pertwee stories?
Go for it.
Should we do that now? Do you want to just start? Because I've still put mine out yet.
Yes, I think for the next bit, I was thinking the other day, I went around to visit my daughter Polly, who was, as I'm sure many of you know, is a big Pertwee era fan. And we hadn't sat down and watched a Doctor Who story for ages. And she's a university student at the moment, and obviously it's been quite a tough time. So she's finally got home, and like a lot of people, she just wanted to indulge herself in something that made her feel festive and Christmassy. And she said, do you think there's a John Pertwee story that would make us feel Christmassy? So we had a little think about it, and then I put the question to Hayden and Doc as well. Which John Pertwee story would you most like to see on Christmas Day that would make you feel festive and happy?
Well, it's an interesting question, Mark, and one that I was really looking forward to answering.
Why don't you then?
Well, I will.
Go on then.
For me, For me,
don't let me stop you.
It's not at all Christmassy, of course not. But it was broadcast from the 7th of December of 1999 to the 25th of January 2000.
What?
So it was broadcast over the last Christmas of the 20th century on BBC Two in a repeat schedule thing that BBC Two used to do in those days at 6 o'clock. And I had to. I was recording this at the time. So Spearhead from Space had been on before it throughout November. And I was recording these. And do you remember, faithless listeners, you used to have that little black tab on the VHS spine? And if you didn't have it covered up, then it wouldn't record your tape. So you could put a VCR and timer record. And if you hadn't put the tape on, then it would just spit the video back out again.
Yes, because that was to safeguard videos that you didn't want to tape over.
Yeah.
So you push the tab
that's
out.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And so somebody had already pushed the tab out to record something for posterity.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of sellotape, put it over the top, put it in. But our timer record was still a bit dodgy back then. And if something was scheduled for, let's say, 6 o'clock, you'd have to start it at 17:58 and then maybe take into account like an extra 10 minutes afterwards. Because we had loads of, like, used to have Carry On films on back in the day. Carry On Doctor was one that came to mind that was broadcast like 11 o'clock one night.
Mm.
But I think maybe the football overran or something. So we lost the last 15 minutes of Carry On Doctor, and we just got the last 15 minutes of the news, basically, because there's something had overrun. And I remember having to leave my house, and I think they banked episode 2 and 3 together as a double bill. And I had to go and watch my sister in her reception play of Pinocchio at my school. And I remember sitting through all of this thinking, well, I hate pantomimes anyway.
That's why you don't like Horns and Nymon.
It might be, actually. Yeah, that's a very good reasoning behind my hatred of them. But also the fact that I was sitting on tenterhooks the whole time, really worried that I was missing episode, I think it might have been episode 2 at that point, of the Silurians, rushing home after, like, waiting for my sister to obviously finish, and then I could have yanked her off the stage after her last scene and just, like, run her home again. But no, I waited patiently, and then remember just watching it straight afterwards, really dark, obviously, because it's winter and it's, you know, the early evening. And watching the Silurians with the Christmas tree and the roaring fire. And it just reminds me, yeah, me and the Christmas tree were great pals back then. You know, sit down and watch the Silurians. No, and it just reminded me very much so of my Christmas Doctor Who.
Oh. Shall I go?
Go for it, Mark.
Well, I thought that on Christmas Day, what seems to be the biggest rating TV show of the last few years, sadly, as far as I'm concerned, because I can't stand it, is but you know, if other people like it, that's great. Mrs. Brown's Boys. So basically, I thought what you need is something that's got that kind of bad sitcom vibe. But I thought what story in the John Pertwee era has that kind of bad sitcom vibe, but still has elements of the Christmas story to it. And I thought, well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's the Time Monster.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Well, it is.
Why?
Because you've got... Why? The sound of disbelief in dogs. A complete bafflement. Why? Well, you've got... The crystal is like the Star of Bethlehem that brings everyone together, isn't it? Then you've got Kronos as the angel Gabriel coming down from above and everyone being mighty afeared of him. And then he turns up in Atlantis where loads of people are dressed like shepherds and stuff and they're all mighty afeared of him. And you know, he's clearly an angelic figure. Well, she's clearly an angelic figure.
Are you saying that baby Benton is Jesus Christ?
You've spoilt my big finale.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You have hit the nail on the head, Hayden. Baby Benton is born not of man. It's an immaculate conception. There was no sex involved. He was just, there he was, the beautiful baby. And then at the end, you've got everybody coming in to see him, only to find out that he's rather like, I also mentioned that the Time Monster ends very much like a lot of UNIT Christmas parties did, with Sergeant Benton standing up naked and saying, would anyone mind telling me what's going on here?
I think we need to check what's in Mark's snuff box. I just can't believe. This is a bit like me the other night saying basically the box of delights is Mordrin undead.
I thought the reason Mark was going to explain for choosing the Time Monster as the most Christmas episode is it's the biggest turkey of the Pertwee.
Well, it stars the biggest turkey. that huge bird flapping around.
I'm not convinced that Mark likes Doctor Who because of his choices of his favourite stories.
Oh, I love it.
I have problems, I'm afraid.
I know.
Because I couldn't describe, can't think of one. I did check to see whether...
Curse of Peladon?
I did check to see whether... Why Curse of Peladon?
Because well, Agador was the donkey, probably. I don't know.
Well, because well, you've got a man in tights, a bit like a pantomime. I mean, the king looks very much like a kind of principal boy.
I did check to see whether any stories were actually broadcast at Christmas, though, so that I could at least fake one. But really, it's only... Other than the first episode of The Three Doctors, which just about hit 30th of December, there's only The Time Warrior. It doesn't feel Christmassy at all. And then I said, well, what else is connected with Christmas? I suppose, well, there's the blazing Yule log, which we can already see in our fireplace. So I thought, well, maybe Inferno? And then what else do we connect Christmas with? Family arriving from far and wide to visit you? And I thought, no, I can't choose Ambassadors of Death. And then I thought, well, what do we like? What do we like on this podcast more than a really good pun? So, in tribute to Santa himself, I've decided to go for the Claws of Axos.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
But no, I couldn't think of one. I mean, the really Christmassy one that I can think of for Christmas for me are Tom's stories. Because one Christmas I was given the Pescatons audio cassette. I think the next Christmas I was given the Genesis LP as Christmas presents.
What, Lamb Lies Down on Broadway?
A trick of the tail.
I think with the Curse of Peladon as well, don't forget that John Pertwee does sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
He does, yeah, you're right.
Right. Games. Is that another game, please, guys?
Okay. Shall we do the Feast of Stevens?
Yes, please.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Who thought of that?
Okay. So the Feast of Stevens is questions, Doctor Who related questions about famous Stevens.
especially from Mark's friend Nick.
Yes.
Yes, my okay. friend Nick was particularly looking forward to this item.
And if this goes to a tiebreak, then I'm buggered to do an 11th question, to be honest with you, because this did start to get a little tricky. Okay, so point for each correct question. Again, 10 questions, fingers on blasters. Okay, question number one. Who wrote Terminus? Oh, I think that was a dead heat.
Well, it sounded like I was first to me.
Okay.
Go on then, right. Mark.
Go on, Mark. Go on then.
Stephen Gallagher.
It is indeed. It is Steve Gallagher, yes. One of the lesser known of the Gallagher brothers. Okay, question number two. Who worked under the influence of Boss at Global Chemicals? I believe that's Doc.
Mr. Stevens.
It is, but can Chairman. I please have it in the same tone as John Dearth, please? Oh, yep. Yes, Doc?
Stevens.
There you go. That's what I was after. One all. One all. Okay. Question number three. How many canonical Doctors has Stephen Moffat written for on screen? And this is not counting the all 13 sequence in Day of the Doctor.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay, that's Mark again.
Four.
Nope.
Three.
No.
Oh! Five.
Right, stop there, stop there. You can't do that. Okay, right, since you both got it wrong, I'll give you the answer, okay? It's eight.
On screen?
Yeah, he's written for the First Doctor in Twice Upon a Time.
Oh.
He wrote for the Fifth Doctor in Time Crash. He wrote for the Eighth Doctor in Night of the Doctor. War Doctor in, obviously, Day of the Doctor and the Name of the Doctor beforehand. Ninth Doctor, of course, with The Empty Child and the Doctor Dances. Tenth Doctor, 11th, and finally the 12th.
Well, one of those doesn't count as a Doctor.
Well, he's got Doctor at the end of it, hasn't he? He's called the War Doctor.
No, sorry, I was referring to that travesty of an impersonation of Bill Hartnell.
Oh, right. No, fair point.
Oh,
fair point.
Oh, but it's a lady. Would you make a cup of tea for me, dear? Okay, so still 1-1.
Still 1-1. So question number four. Stephen Wyatt wrote which two Seventh Doctor adventures? Oh, here we go, Doc.
It's the J.G. Ballard parody, Paradise Towers.
Yep.
Yes.
I was a bit worried about putting this in because I thought you'd then go on for 45 minutes about... And pray tell, Doc, what is the second story that he wrote?
Oh. In that case, I'm trying to think of something that's like Paradise Towers. Did he do...
I mean, I will give you...
Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Well done.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's the third one that I don't like?
So, was your Wi-Fi lagging there?
Yeah, was it?
Oh, very amusing.
You really pulled that out of your spreadsheet. I mean, pocket, really, really quickly there, Doc. Well done. Okay, question number five. That's 2-1 to Doc. This one, you can have to the nearest round number, okay? Stephen Moffat wrote how many Doctor Who episodes?
Me. Are we talking about proper ones or ones like Time Crash and...
No, these are prop... No, so this is this isn't listing Time Crash or Night of the Doctor. Okay, that's Mark.
16.
16 episodes.
Is that woefully low?
Well, I mean, he wrote for like...
25.
15 years, didn't he, for it, so...
Oh, right, oh, yeah. Oh, high or lower?
I say 625.
I mean, I'm going to have to give this to Doc, but you are so... so low compared to how many you did. Okay, I will have to give it to Doc, because you are the... Oh, no, because... I don't know, is that fair?
Yeah.
What's the answer, Hayden?
It's 48.
Well, that means I win.
What? Oh, right.
You should have said to Doc. If you get it within 10% or something.
Nah, I didn't want to get the draft.
If I'd really been cheating, I'd have said 17 to ensure that Mark.
That is true.
Would be screwed. That's
true. All right, question number 3-1 to Doc. Me. Question number 6. Who played Azal and Omega? Was that Mark? Yes, it was Mark. It's Mark.
Stephen Thorne.
It was indeed. It was indeed. Okay, question number 7. Who is the current executive producer, having previously worked on An Adventure in Time and Space? Or Adventure in Space and Time, even. Oh, that's Doc.
Is this a trick question?
A little, tiny bit.
Is it down Mark Strevens?
It is.
Oh!
4-2. It's a little, a little bit. Oh, dear. Okay. Right, question number 8. How many fellow companions of the First Doctor did Stephen Taylor meet? Again, closest to the number, I'd say here. That's Mark.
5.
Okay, so Mark's got 5. Doc?
Hail Noah.
I'm deliberately not doing this for your good. I actually did, as Mark did say five, I had reached six in my counting. I say six.
It's six.
Oh, God.
It's six.
But Sarah Kingdom.
I think
it's... Yes. Oh, no, I forgot. No, I didn't forget Sarah Kingdom. I forgot the one before.
Right, so for the listeners at home, it's Ian, Barbara, and Vicky.
Yeah.
Of course, you met Ian and Barbara in the chase.
Yeah, yeah.
Katarina. Yeah.
That's what I forgot.
Sarah Kingdom.
Yep.
Brett Vian.
Brett Vian.
Not really. No, that is six.
Ian, Barbara, Vicky, Katarina, Sarah Kingdom, and one more.
Dodo.
Yeah, Dodo.
How is Sarah Kingdom a companion, but Brett Vian isn't?
Because she travelled in the TARDIS throughout the master plan.
Mm.
Well, so did the Brigadier.
You know he didn't. The Brigadier wasn't in it.
Not the Brigadier, Brett Vian, didn't it? Or was he just in the TARDIS?
No, he was on the spaceship in Kemble when they...
Mm.
So I won that despite miscounting.
Yeah, you won that despite trying to talk yourself out of winning it.
I don't mind.
So, right, 5-2 then.
Oh, hang on. Hayden's asking for a VAR check.
Okay, so we're just playing for fun with these last two here. So, again, another Stephen Taylor-related question. Would you add Adam and Eve it? Number 9, how many stories did he appear in?
Eight.
Okay, so Doc's saying eight.
I'll say seven.
It's 10.
It's 10.
So it's 6-2 to Doc.
6-2. Thank God that didn't end in 6-1.
Hey! Yeah, you'd have had terrible flashbacks there, wouldn't you, Doc? Okay, question 10. On what day of what year was the festive episode The Feast of Stephen broadcast? And that's Mark.
It would be Christmas Day... 1965.
Yes, he got an injury time penalty there to bring the score back a bit. So that was 6-3 to Doc. That's quite nice, actually. You both won a game there. So
why is Doc so good at Stevens anyway?
Yeah, I know. Fancy that. Fancy lady. Fancy that. Sorry, that's the day-to-day there. No one's going to get that. Okay. Oh, I want Mark's game now.
It's not my game.
It's Bruce's game.
It's an old friend of mine. Here he is. It's a game called Play Your Jail Guards Right. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's the leader of the pack because he's such a lucky chap. It's Brucey. Nice to see you. To see you.
Nice.
You were so much better last year. Right. Today's game. Trumps is the name of the game, so come on and have a trump with me. Ooh. No, not that sort of trump, Hayden, you dirty boy.
Start the count. Start the count.
So, right, I'm in charge here. Yeah, I'll just warm you up. Right, then. This game is based on the 1978 Top Trumps game that came out featuring the Doctor Who monsters and heroes.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I have selected from this deck of cards the 14 great villains from the Pertwee era.
Oh,
yes, excellent. And I've put them on the table there. You see they're forming a sort of Trump Tower.
Oh, isn't it bleak?
Stop it. Isn't it bleak? It should be the title of the Christmas special. Right, basically you've got 7 cards each, and you're going to play 7 rounds, and you'll pick a card at random, pick an ability, and then you'll play off against the other person's card. Now, I'm going to toss to see how it goes first.
Tails, please.
It's heads, Hayden, so I'm afraid that Doc gets... Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first, please, Brucey.
I'll get it over with, yes. Quite right. So, took your first card. You've got Origa. Oh, it's a great start, isn't it? Ooh, look at that Origa. A renegade Time Lord. Banished for his hideous crimes, of all the threats to Earth, Omega is the most menacing. So, which would you like? Mental ability 9, special powers 10, or weapons 5?
I think I'm going to go for special powers 10.
Oh, I was going to suggest weapons. Oh, what a shame.
Right then. Hayden, would you like to pick the next card?
I'm going to go for 14.
Your card, Hayden, is the Spiders of Metabolis. With a mental ability of 6, special powers of 3, and the weapons of 4. So I'm afraid, Hayden, that you lose this first round. So it's the first round is to Doc.
Hurrah!
Right, but the loser goes first, you see, for the next round. Because we like that here.
Can I go for number... Since it is the John Pertwee episode that we're doing today, can I go for number 3, please, Brucey?
You've drawn the Ogrons. Here, I'll have a look at that picture there.
That doesn't look like an Ogron to me, Brucey.
Savage ape-like creatures whose sole purpose is to serve their temple masters, the Daleks, by spreading murder and chaos throughout the galaxy. Would you like to describe that Ogron to the listeners at home?
Well, faithful sisters, this Ogron bears a passing resemblance to none other than the Sea Devils.
He doesn't look terribly ape-like, does it?
No.
He's not the most ape-like thing I've ever seen.
Hang on a minute. The Ogrons. Mental ability 8.
Yes, that's right. Mental ability 8. Special powers 3.
That's only one less than Omega.
I'm pleased that you pointed that out, great doc.
Oh, because, the whole point of the Ogrons is they're thick, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm offending people, but...
I'm going to go for mental ability, please, Brucey.
In that case, Brucey, I would like to pick number 11, please.
Here you are. Oh, this is one of the worst enemies of the Third Doctor. He's certainly the one that finished you off. You've drawn the Fourth Doctor.
Oh, mental ability 10! Yes! The Fourth Doctor is only one more mental ability than an Ogron. 2-0.
So Hayden gets to go first again.
Okay, I'm going to go for number 10 this time, please, Brucey.
Here we are. And your next card, Hayden, is the Autons.
Oh, I wasn't... Oh, for goodness sakes.
Well, mental ability 4, special powers 8, weapons 4.
I'm going to go for special powers, please, Brucey.
That's 8, so...
I'll pick card number 1, please, Brucey.
You have drawn the Axons.
Oh.
With the mental ability 7, special powers 7, and absolutely no weapons whatsoever, I'm afraid that Hayden has won this round. So that's 2-1. So, Doc, would you like to draw another card?
Card number 5, please, Bruce.
Here we are then, and your card. This one is a terrible enemy of the Third Doctor. It's the TARDIS. Now, it doesn't like doing anything for him. It spends years doing nothing for him. Then when he does get it working, it tries to throw him into a parallel dimension where he dies. And in fact, it seems to do nothing but try to put him in danger, land him on dangerous planets. And then it takes him to Metabilis 3 and it kills him. So, would you like to choose mental ability 0, special powers 10, or... weapons 8, because the TARDIS famously has a lot of weapons.
I'll go for mental ability 0, please, Bruce. No, I'll go for special powers 10, please, Bruce.
Well, would you like to draw a card now, please, from the Trump Tower, Hayden?
Number 9, please, Brucey.
And you have drawn the Subtarans.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Oh, the crap!
With a mental ability of 4, special powers of 5, and weapons of 7. I'm afraid you've lost. So that's 3-1 to Doc. So it's Hayden to go first in the next round.
I'm going to go for number 10, please, Brucey.
Actually, I've already chosen 10.
I'd like to choose number 11, please, Brucey.
11's already gone.
I'd like to choose number 12, please, Brucey.
Number 12 is here. And actually, it's one of the best pictures on the cards. It's the Ice Warriors. Now then, he has a mental ability of 6, special powers of 6, and weapons of 2. He's terrible.
Yeah. Not very good at this, aren't we? I'm going to go for special powers, please, Brucey.
6. Right.
I will choose number 13, please, Brucey.
Please let it be a maggot. Please let it be a maggot. Please let it be a maggot. Please let it be a maggot.
Here we are. Next out is the Sea Devils.
What is going on?
These marine cousins of the Silurians, they strike at Earth defences from a hidden base under the sea. Would you like to describe the Sea Devils to the listeners at home?
It's an Okron. What did Hayden choose?
Special powers 6.
Ah.
So I'm afraid
Sea Devils and Ogrons have only got 3. So Hayden wins that round.
Sea Devils and the Ogrons seem to have exactly the same attributes for some reason. don't know why.
Right. 3-2 to me. I'll pick number 4, please, Brucey.
Anyway, you've drawn the Silurians.
Oh, right.
So, mental ability 5, special powers 4, a weapon 7.
Oh, I better go for weapon 7, I think, please, Brucey.
Well, there is an awful lot of weapons, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Hang on. This is the description of the Silurians. Huge reptiles. They aren't, are they?
No, they take the slight liberty there.
Yes, I'll go for special weapons of 7, please, Brucey.
I'm going to go for number 6, please, Brucey.
Oh,
I don't like that.
Not a lot. You've drawn the Daemons.
Oh, okay. Lovely couple.
Unfortunately,
oh.
He's only got weapons 4.
For goodness sake.
Yeah, yes, that's the Daemon with mental ability of 8, special powers 4, weapons 4, and they're an ancient race of extraterrestrials endowed with planet-destroying powers. Endowed with planet-destroying powers, an ancient race of extraterrestrials.
Oh, do you want to put your teeth back in, Brucey?
So it's 4-2 to me, and Hayden chooses.
You're stealing my thunder, I'm afraid, Brucey.
Well, I'm very sorry, Terrence.
Can I go for 2, please?
They're very wise. Here they are, it's the Draconians. Proud, intelligent, man-like in temperament, this space-travelling race presents a terrible menace to Earth's future. Ooh. With a mental ability of 8, special powers 8, and weapons of 2. I'm not sure what he's got on the table in front of him.
I think it's
sort of vegetable.
It's like a weird pufffish, isn't it?
It's like he's got an old turnip and he's used it to hold his pens.
It's a kaplunk game, isn't it?
It's a kaplunk. I think I'm obviously going to have to go for mental ability here, Brucey.
Mental ability 8. Mental ability 8. Yeah, thanks for joining you, Mark.
And I will choose the final card, number 7, please, Brucey.
Here we are. The card that's given the game its name. It's the Jail Guards. Would you like to read out the description?
Grotesque hyphen blobby. Grotesque blobby. Almost shapeless. I think what this actually should read is grotesque, blobby, almost shapeless servants of the Wicked Omega. The way they punctuated it reads grotesque blobby, almost shapeless servants of the Wicked Omega.
Yeah, with mental ability of 5, special powers 6, and weapons of 5, I'm afraid that the Jail Guards have been taken down by the Draconians.
Yeah, skitting. Although that was a hollow
that game finished
for me, that last one.
4-3. But don't forget, if you lose when you're playing trumps, you can always just claim you won and carry on for several months anyway.
Course. Yes, thanks for reminding me that. I'll take it to the Supreme Court of Trumps.
That's the name of the game.
Oh, thank you, Brucey. And there he goes. Oh, who said what is next? Come up to the podiums, please, my friends. Right, so we've got 10 questions. 2 points are on offer per question. One for the character who says the line and the story that they said the line in. Okay, so the first question is, or the first quote even, who said what? Well, I never thought I'd fire in anger at a dratted caterpillar. Oh, that's Mark.
Is it the Brigadier?
It is.
In the Green Death?
It is. That's 2 points to Mark. Okay, second question. Shoes. Must find my shoes. That's Doc.
Is it the Third Doctor in Spirit from Space?
It is indeed. Oh, it's tied off for 2 questions. Ooh. Okay, question number 3. He was the most alive person I ever met. Oh, that's Doc.
Sarah in Planet of the Spiders?
I'll give you a point for Sarah Jane Smith, but the story will now pass over to Mark. Chance to draw level here, Mark. So you've got 4 stories to choose from, basically.
Yeah. Is it Death to Daleks?
I'm afraid not, no. It was, in fact, the Monster Repellent.
Oh.
So it's 3-2 to Doc. Question 4. This is our planet. We were here before, man. Oh, that's Mark.
It's one of those gigantic reptiles in the Silurians.
It is indeed. Yes, it is. 2 points there to Mark.
Excuse me, doesn't he have to name the character?
Well, I have down here on my card, Young Silurian. So he said Silurian, so that's what.
4-3.
Question number 5. A hero? I should have been a god. And that's
Omega 3 Doctors.
It is indeed. Omega in the 3 Doctors. So it's 5-4 to Doc now. Okay, number 6. Take care, creature. With your few pitiful grains of knowledge, you have summoned me here. But I am not your slave, and you are not immortal. Oh, I do believe
that
was...
Is that Azal in the Daemons?
It was indeed, Mark. Yes, it was.
Yes.
Good grief. So it's 6-5. This is very tight once again. Okay, number 7. I have so few worthy opponents. When they're gone, I always miss them. Gonna have to hurry you along here. I have so few worthy opponents. When they're gone, I always miss them. Oh, it's Doc.
The Master Terror of the Autons.
Oh my god, it is as well.
What? Yes, it is.
What a guess that was. So it's 7-6 to Doc now.
It was obviously the Master, wasn't it? It was just so many bloody Master stories.
I've been considering it's a Master story in the Third Doctor. You had about 49 to choose from there, so. Okay, question number 8. I am every kind of scientist. That's Mark.
Is it the Third Doctor in the Time Warrior?
It is the Third Doctor, but it's not the Time Warrior, so the story passes over to Doc.
In that case, is it... So someone must be asking, are you some kind of scientist, aren't they? So, I would say... Is it the Third Doctor in the Time Monster?
That's what I...
That's what you just...
No, I said Time Warrior.
Time Warrior and Time Monster. I'm afraid not, Doc, no.
So that's the only one I can think of with scientists. And... Oh, I bet it's Inferno, isn't it?
No, it's not, so no, I'll pass it
over
to Mark.
No, I bet it's... Invasion of Dinosaurs, isn't it?
It's not, no.
Oh, okay.
No, you're all wrong. It is, in fact, Colony in Space.
Oh.
But what that means is we're heading into the last 2 questions, and it's a dead heat at the moment.
Is that 7 each? All?
Yep, 7 each. So, question number 9. An alien that travels through time and space in a police box. That's Mark.
Is it the Brigadier in Spearhead from Space?
It's the correct story, but it isn't the correct character, I'm afraid, Mark.
Oh.
So it's Spearhead from Space, so that passes over to Doc again.
Is it... Oh, it must be Liz, mustn't it?
It is Liz Shaw, yes it is. So it's 8 all, going into question number 10.
Last question, and we're level pecking.
Yeah, ooh. Last question, and it's 8. Ooh. 8 apiece. Question number 10. Listen to that. It's the sound of a planet screaming out its rage. That's Mark.
That is the Third Doctor in Inferno.
It is indeed. Mark wins.
Oh.
10 points to 8. Oh.
Well done, Mark. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, it's the greatest day of my life.
Well, do you know what? We've played 4 games this evening, and it's 2 apiece between you two.
Yeah. Have you won one, Hayden?
I haven't won. I've only taken part in one of them.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, faithless listeners, it's the game you've all been waiting for. Now, that sounds rude to Hayden, doesn't it? It's like,
these were mere warm-ups to what comes next, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, faithless listeners, it's the thing that ties the whole history of Diddly-Dum together. We did it in our very first Christmas back in 2014, and we've done it every Christmas since. It is, of course, our Christmas Gold Run. Looking back at a series of questions based on the last 12 months, or even further than the last 12 months, because sometimes I can't always think of enough questions. And we've been doing this for so long that we've eventually built our own purpose-built Blockbuster studio in the Hooseum. Computer, would you open the blast doors to the Gold Run studio, please? Okay, here we are. And you'll see that what we're experimenting with for the first time here is, instead of having the Blockbusters game screen on the wall in front of us, the entire floor of the studio is the Blockbusters game screen. And you will jump from tile to tile, trying to illuminate them. And if you want to follow the boys' progress on the game screen, faithless listeners, you can go to any of our social media platforms, either to our blog at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com or to our Facebook page at diddlydum or to our Twitter account at diddly_dum, where we've posted a view of the game screen. And so, as we reach the climax of the year, if you're ready, I'm going to ask you to put yourselves on the hotspot, please. Right, it's gold to gold in 60 minutes or less. And if you're ready, choose your first tile, please.
Mark, could we go for Robin Van Persie first?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we've mentioned him on this podcast before, but let's go for RVP.
RVP. To whom did Doc liken Nicola Bryant for joining the show just before it all went wrong?
Robin Van Persie.
Yes. Choose another tile, please.
Go on, Mark. Which one should we go for?
Can we have TBB, please, Bob? Doc?
The British Beverly Hillbillies.
The Brady Bunch? Oh, no, they weren't British, were they?
The British... Oh, I don't know.
Comes from our comics podcast.
Oh!
Thinking back to mine and Mark's childhood.
The Bunty... No.
No, I can't remember.
It's the Bumpkin Billionaires.
Oh, right.
From, was it Whoopi and Shiver and Shake?
Ah.
Choose another tile, please.
We really need to go CBBHXB then, don't we, yep. Really?
We learn to be more careful playing lousy DVDs.
Oh, Colin Baker breaks Aiden's Xbox.
Yes. I'll pick another tile, please.
Should we do RLAL?
Yes, RLAL then, please.
RLAL. The Rani's favourite Bangles song.
Oh, run like a Lucasian.
Oh, well done, yes.
That's right. Choose another tile, please.
MMM.
MMM. The black and white version of the Fury from the Deep animation resembled what for Doc?
Oh! Mary, Mungo and Midge.
Correct. Choose another tile, please.
Can we go for LWITMT?
Oh, yes.
Mark spots an animated doppelganger.
Oh! Lala Ward in the Macro Terror.
Yes! Oh, yes.
Choose another tile, please.
HVO.
HVO. The Great Malt-Based Competition.
Something Ovaltini's.
Horlicks. Horlicks, yeah. Versus Ovaltini's.
Yeah, well, Ovaltine. Choose another tile, please.
Should we do... Ooh!
IACW, please, dog.
The stage musical version of the war between the Suntarans and the Rutans.
OOOIACW. I ate Corbyn's wife fronts. I don't know.
Nope.
No, pass.
Oh, it's a crappy war. Remember when we were doing Frank Rock?
As a kid, I just couldn't quite envisage little potato people shooting at balls of snot. I just thought, what a crappy war.
Well, wasn't that an old stage play? Oh, what a crappy war.
Choose another title, please.
Should we do YCMP?
Doc's favourite line of the whole Peter Davison era.
You can't mend people.
Correct. Choose another tile, please.
I don't know. I'm sort of slightly tempted by Wee Owl. unless we go to TWTT.
The Happiness Patrol meets the two Ronnies.
Oh, the worm that turned.
Yes. Pick another tile, please.
Can we have Weow? W-E-O-W.
He makes things fall to pieces.
He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good.
This is another thing from our comics podcast.
These things fall to pieces. Is it a comic book character?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't think I know it. I can't remember it.
No, I'm stumped, I'm afraid. Sorry.
It's Whereabout Wilf.
Well, what do you want to do then? Because we're on TWTT and YCMP, weren't we?
Yeah, we're going to have to go for... Let's go GGG, shall we?
Oh, I was thinking sort of head down a bit further.
What, DS? Yeah. Perhaps. Okay, all right, yeah, DS. Go on, we'll go for DS.
Which popular condiments did you have to buy to win a Tom Baker Birdsong tape?
Oh, is it Daddy's Sauce?
It is Daddy's Sauce.
Yum, yum.
Next, choose a tile, please.
Should we go TGITNBA, please?
Yes, let's do that.
Hayden's great-grandma's hot air balloon flying acquaintance.
Oh, the girl in the Nimble Bread advert. Well remembered, Doc. Right. She flies like a bird
in the sky. Choose another tile, please.
DTMFC?
DTMFC. Hayden thought that just finding a badge at school made him a member.
Dennis the Menace fan club.
Yeah. Oh, you do. We're well in this one, boys, this year.
We are, yes. Shall we do... now, I'm going to put a French inflection on this. Shall we do... Ouater. Next.
Ouater.
O-U-A-T-L. Rupert the Bear appeared in which Sixth Doctor comic strip story?
Oh, Oh, God.
It's part
of... Oh, you are the least.
Oh, you are the limit, Hayden.
It's part of the Voyager thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on...
Once upon a Time Lord.
Very good.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Next one. If you, I mean, you could go straight for it, or you could try Wandering Again.
Up to Hayden, I don't mind.
Can we do CCTP then, please, Doc?
CCTP. Mark refuses to go here to remove minor skin blemishes. CCTP. Mark refuses to go here to remove minor skin blemishes.
Oh.
I'm sure you can think who CC is at the moment.
Chris Chibnall.
Chris
Chibnall's turd polishing.
No. Perhaps it would be more... It would be more helpful if I'd said, Mark refuses to go here to disguise minor skin blemishes.
Oh, Chris Chibnall's tattoo parlour.
That's right. Do you remember we were saying that Chris Chibnall trying to solve the... It was the extra faces during the mind-bending contest in Morbius, wasn't it? And Chris Chibnall fixes it.
It's basically like Chris Chibnall's been looking at the brain of Morbius and... the Morbius doctors, and thinking, oh, one day I'm really going to have to sort that out. It's really bugging me. And now he's got his chance. And it's something that hasn't bothered anyone else. Well, you know, not in a major way, but it's for me, this is a bit like as if I'd gone to, if I'd got a small tattoo that I didn't like on my back somewhere that I couldn't see, and I'd sort of half forgotten about. And Chris Chibnall comes up to me, he says, Mark, I could get rid of that tattoo for you. So I say to him, oh, that's... Oh, really? Go ahead. Be my guest. And then I go to sleep and I wake up and I've been tattooed from head to toe like a zebra. And I say, what the hell have you done to me? And he says, well, you can't see that tattoo now, Mark. But now I look like a bloody zebra.
Choose another tile, please.
Should we do P-Arb?
Yep, P-Arb, and then it's
P-I-A-B. A child's solution to getting caught short when scared.
Oh. pissing in a boat.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Choose another.
Are we going to cack it?
Yeah, should we cack it? Then should we go for C-A-C, please, Doc?
C-A-C.
I'll have a cack, please, Bob.
What a young Doc used to do on bonfire night.
Oh, cobber coley.
Very good. And that's Blockbusters. Let's see where you're going. You're going nowhere because we've abolished freedom of movement.
Oh, rats.
So, I think we're coming towards the end. Now, what's that? Is there something coming down the chimney?
Is that soot coming down it? Oh my god.
Oh. Oh.
Who's that?
This has just landed in the hearth.
Is that Santa?
He's dressed all in fur from his head to his foot. And his clothes are all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he has flung on his back, and he looks like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkle. His dimples, how hairy. His cheeks are like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth is drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin is as white as the snow. Is it Father Christmas?
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wait a minute, that's not Santa. It's Gruntly the Ogron.
Yes, it's me, Gruntly. Me bring peace and goodwill and nanas to all.
Oh no, I hate bananas. I'm just going to chuck mine in this body of fast-moving water over here.
No, don't dump bananas into the river.
Gruntly the Ogron, Gruntly the Ogron, Joe Grant has been imprisoned on your home planet by the Master.
It's a trap.
Then he spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight,
"Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Oh, that was nice of him to come in. Lads, can you hear that? Can you hear that noise from outside? Carol singers. Oh,
it's beautiful.
It's, computer, could you open the front doors, please? Why, it's our old friends from the Chalk Farm Salvation Army Band, together with all the local school children walking across Biscuit Factory Square to sing us a carol. And what's that? What's that tune? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right, well, faithless listeners, we'll wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy, happier and safer New Year, shall we say.
Yeah.
And, right, put your, have you got your scarves and your...
Get your mitts off my mitts, Mark.
Oh. And your mittens on, you boys.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
God rest ye merry gentlemen.
Aroon, aroon, aroon.
Remember Christ our Saviour.
Aroon, aroon, aroon.
To save us all from Satan's power.
Aroon, aroon, aroon.
We're reversing the polarity of the neutron flow.
Neutron flow.
We're reversing the polarity of the neutron
flow.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dum Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at Diddly Dum, on Twitter at diddly_dum, or email us at diddlydumpodcast@yahoo.co.uk. Diddly Dum. Meaty, not runny. Top breeders recommend it because it's solid nourishment for the ears.